Tonight we're going to talk about the conclusion of the whole matter. And this is going to be taken from Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 13 and 14. This passage is, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Now this passage of Scripture basically is telling us three things. It is telling us the end, the conclusion. If you look up the word conclusion in the dictionary, it is going to say it means the end. It means the last part of something. It means the summary of everything that you have heard. The second thing that this passage tells us is the word whole, W-H-O-L-E. This word, if you look it up, means to be entire. It means to be complete or to be in totality. In other words, there is nothing out, nothing left out. It is all there for you to see and to understand. The third thing that this passage tells us is the matter. Matter. It means that it is the subject of discussion. When you're talking about the matter of something, you're talking about the main thing, what it's really talking about. So this passage of Scripture is giving us conclusion. It is giving us the wholeness of God's Word. And it is giving us the entire matter of what God is telling to us. So let's read this verse again with the definitions that we have put into place for our three things. The summary, the entirety, and the discussion. Let's read this verse with those words in mind. Let us hear the summary of the entire discussion. Fear God, keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. So now, with modern definitions, we know exactly what Solomon is trying to tell us. He is telling us the summary of the entire discussion of God and God's Word. And when you read this verse, knowing the definition of these words that was in this verse, you come to an understanding that when Solomon finishes what he is saying here, there's nothing else to be said. It is complete. He has told us everything that needs to be said. This is it. It is all that matters. We now know everything that we need to know and how to deal with God, right? So now, I should be able to say, if you're subject to the invitation, please come while we stand and sing. But I'm sorry, I'm not going to do that. I want us to break this down. I want us to take a look at the summary. I want us to take a look at the entire discussion. I want us to look at the matter of the thing. I want us to talk about fearing God, which is what he said next. I want us to talk about the keeping of the commandments. And then I want to talk about God's judgment. And after we talk about these three things that Solomon has mentioned in this passage of Scripture, I want us to go back and find out the how that we can do this in our lives each day. First of all, he said, fear God. Fear God. You can go back to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 13. And you can read this commandment as it is given to the children of Israel. And the words are plain and simple. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God. Why? Why are we to fear God? Is God some tyrant that sits down from heaven waiting for us to say something wrong or to do something wrong so he can pound on us? Is that how God deals with mankind, and is that all he thinks of us, that he can do this simply thing? Does this mean that he really just wants us to be afraid of him? that he wants us to live in fear, afraid to take the next breath, afraid to say the next word, afraid to do the next thing because it may be something that he doesn't like. And there is scripture in the Bible where man has said the wrong thing and was punished instantly. There are scriptures in the Bible that talks about man doing the wrong thing and was punished instantly. So yes, God has done that type of thing in the past. Is that why he wants us to fear him so we can be ready if he wants to do that to us? I think David gives us a good answer in Psalm 111 and verse 10. He says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All those who practice it have a good understanding." A good understanding about what? A good understanding about God. Now, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It would be wise for us to understand who God is and what God is capable of. Can he strike us with a second's notice? Yes, he can. He has done it in the past. But that's not what this is talking about. He is wanting us to think of God as someone who is special. He wants us to reverence God. He wants us to understand that it is smart, that it is wise to revere God as our creator and as our sustainer in life. You know, another good answer is given by the Lord himself in Matthew chapter 10, verse 28. Jesus says here, "Do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. But rather fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell." Now, what Jesus is trying to get across to us is this. Man can only go so far in damaging us. Man can take away our physical life. We know that for a fact. But that's as far as he can go. God, on the other hand, can take that next step. He can either offer us salvation or give us destruction, one of the two. So therefore, because he can take that next step, we need to be sure that we reverence him, that we honor him, and that we keep in the back of our mind the capabilities of our God because he can do both. Now, God's desire is for all men to be saved. We know that. But if we refuse to obey, God has another will for those who refuse to obey. Solomon gives his answer in Ecclesiastes chapter 8 and verse 12. "Though a sinner does evil 100 times and prolongs his life, yet I know that it will be well with those who fear God, because they fear before him." You see, those who do evil, they have no fear of God. Because if they had true fear of God, they wouldn't do these things. But we, on the other hand, knowing who God is, knowing God's capabilities, we offer God that reverence and that awe and that fear because we understand that through the evilness in life, what God will do to those who practice the evilness. So these verses simply are telling us that we need to know and understand God, to know who he is, how he thinks, and how he is going to react with how you think and act and live. God loves us. He wants the very best for us. But at the same time, he expects our obedience. And when we don't give it to him, then of course punishment is the rule of the day. And that should make us fearful. The second thing that this passage tells us is that we need to keep his commandments. Now again, let's go back to the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 13 and verse 4. It says, "And you shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him, and keep his commandments and obey his voice, and you shall serve him and hold fast to him." Now, this is pretty plain and simple. We are expected to live and act in a certain way. But then again, we ask this question, why? Why do we need to give God this kind of reverence? Why do we need to honor Him like this? Why do we need to be this obedient to Him? What are the advantages? In other words, as so many people say, what am I getting out of this? We like to say that, don't we? When we look at something and the possibility of doing something or going somewhere, we want to think, well, what's in it for me? That seems to be a simple thing we like to keep in our mind. What are the advantages of loving God, fearing God, obeying God? Well, again, let's turn to the Scriptures. 1 Samuel chapter 12, chapter 12, verses 14 and 15. If you will fear the Lord and serve Him and obey His voice and not rebel against the commandment of the Lord, and if both you and the king who reigns over you will follow the Lord your God, it will be well. But if you will not obey the voice of the Lord, but rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then the hand of the Lord will be against you and your king. Now, when I read this, this tells me that by obeying the commandments of God, we will reap rewards and we will reap blessings. Because He said, if you will, and your king who reigns over you will follow me, it will be well. And we know that, don't we? If we love God, if we serve God, if we follow God, it's going to be well with us, isn't it? Maybe not right now, and maybe not right here, but we know what God has in store for us through our obedience to Him. It is that mansion that is waiting on us that Jesus talked about. He said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'm going to come again, and I'm going to take you home with me, and you will be there with me in that mansion forever. So we know the benefits of obedience, don't we? But then we also need to know the results of disobedience. If we fail to obey, God becomes our enemy. Can you imagine having God as an enemy? Now, in all probability, we have all had at one time or the other enemies in life. People who don't appreciate us for one reason or the other. People who are against us for one reason or the other. We've all probably gone through that. But can you imagine what it would be like to have God as an enemy? Do you know what that means? It means you can't win. It means that you're never going to get your way. It means that you're going to be subject to what He decides to do to you. I wouldn't want that. I would not want God to be against me, because it simply means you're just not going to make it. Now, let me read to you of the reward of obedience. And this comes from Revelation 22 and verse 14. Blessed are those who do His commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. What city? The New Jerusalem. Where is it? It's in heaven. We would have the right to go through those gates into the city, into eternal life through our obedience. That's what obedience brings. That's why we need to reverence our God. Now, the third thing that this verse talks about is judgment. Judgment. Let's go back and read this part of our text again. For God shall bring every work into judgment, with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. It seems to me that judgment day is going to expose everything about everybody who has walked on this earth. All of the secret things. All of the good things. All of the evil things. When we stand before God in judgment, There will be no telling lies. There will be no making excuses. We will stand there before Him, and all truth will be around us, whether we want it there or not. There's a lot of Scripture that reinforces what Solomon is saying here in our text. Paul, for example, as he stands on Mars Hill in Acts the 17th chapter and verse 31, he is discussing the topic of idolatry with the men of Mars in Athens. And he says, He has appointed a day on which He will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom He has ordained. He has given assurance of this to all by raising Him from the dead. Paul is telling these men, look, you got all these gods around you, and you're calling them God, and you're serving them, and you're giving to them things that you think they need. He has already explained to them that this God, this even to the unknown God, this unknown God is someone who don't need your things to begin with. And He is going to come, and He is going to judge us by our lives. Everyone, by raising them from the dead. Paul gives us even a better description in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10. This is what he says here. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or bad. And then the Hebrew writer chimes in Hebrews 9, verse 27. It is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. After this, the judging of whether or not you have been good or whether you have been bad. Jesus talks about the judgment in Matthew chapter 12, verses 36 and 37. He said, I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Now that tells me something else. We don't have to go out and rob a bank to lose our soul. We don't have to go out and shoot somebody and kill them to lose our soul. All we have to do is speak. You ever think about that? There's a lot of words that are spoken that would be better if you just swallow those words and keep them inside. Because this is what Jesus is saying. Every careless word that is spoken, you will be judged by it. Not necessarily and only the deeds. We think about that and we think about the command that we have, that we have been given. You remember when I first started this lesson, we talked about fearing God, about keeping His commandments, and talked about God's judgment. And now we want to find out how to do all of this. Well, Jesus gives us the answer in Matthew 22, verses 37 and 38. This is how you do this. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. You give God love. If the love is there, the respect will be there. If it is there, then the obedience will be there as well. Look at our text again. This is the conclusion of the whole matter. This is the summary of the entire discussion. Fear God. Keep His commandments. This is the whole duty of man. The whole duty of man. This great commandment includes everything that Solomon has said. Love God with everything that we have. The conclusion of our love for God will cause us to fear Him. It will cause us to keep His commandments, and it will cause God to save our souls. John says in 1 John 5 and verse 3, this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. And His commandments are not grievous. They are beneficial. They are for us. So there you have it. What is the conclusion? Fear. Respect God. We must love God and keep His commandments. I ask you tonight, my friend, do you have that love? That love for Him? Tonight, if you're not a Christian, you need to come in love that develops faith in God, repenting of your sins, confessing Jesus as His Son, and being buried with Him in baptism for the remission of your sins. Do you love Him enough to surrender to Him? Do you love Him enough to obey Him? And Christian, have you maintained your love for Him? Do you still have the same passion for God that you did on the day that you obeyed Him and obeyed the gospel of Christ? If not, you need to revitalize yourself tonight so that your life can be ready for when He judges you. And He will. And we need to know that. So tonight, if you need to respond to the invitation of Christ, please come while we stand and sing this song.